south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Now, since I did that show about 6 months ago, about owning and caring for dogs here in Latin America, I have been getting a never-ending trickle of emails on the subject, especially from women. Who'd have thunk, huh? Now, just to refresh your memory a bit, I happened to mention way back when that more than one gringo expat lady has said to me that her dog was not only a good companion and provided a measure of security. She said there was the great added effect that when walking around town with your dog, it seemed to be one of the only sure ways to really cut down on the advances and the hoots and the calls and the whistles that every single girl over 12 here in Latin America is bombarded with when she's walking alone practically anywhere that men are to be found in Latin America. And once again, all you expat lady gunnabies and wannabes, getting harassed like that is just an occupational hazard you have to get used to. Now, up north, we all have a very good idea what sexual harassment is. And guilty parties get fired for it and often have to take counseling, too. But down here in Latin America, things are completely different. If you think there's some kind of agency you can report a sexual harassment incident to, or even some lawyer that'll take up your cause and try to sue, just remember, as far as women's rights and women's lib and all that, Latin America is somewhere back in the, I'd say, 1970s. And that's why you still hear stories from young women down here about young women going to interviews for office jobs, secretaries, and the like, where the prospective boss actually tries to put the make on her before she even gets the job. In fact, I think I mentioned a long time ago, maybe 3 years ago, a case where a woman told me that she went for an office job at a bank, and as she was sitting in the ante room with around 6 or 7 other girls waiting for their interviews, then, the door suddenly opened to the boss's room where he was giving the interview, and a young girl walked out rather briskly, red in the face and her hair tousled. And as it turned out, behind closed doors, as soon as the guy started the interview, he started telling her how beautiful and sexy she was. And, you know, that's par for the course. Young ladies are used to that. Even in job interviews, no less. All nice-looking Latin women are used to that. And no one down here thinks of that as sexual harassment. Why? Because repeatedly, over and over, their own married bosses tell them that all the time. And they rarely say it in a casual way either. There's always that slight undertone of lechery and naughtiness, if you know what I mean. You know, a kind of power play sexual pressure that goes on between boss and underling. And don't think it's just bosses talking to their would-be secretaries either. It's guys on the street continuously verbally harassing women too. In fact, I've seen it myself. I've seen it happen in elevators, at lunch counters, in lines at the grocery store, you name it. Anytime, any place, Latin guys are always ready to put the moves on. And, you know, by first world standards, most of that stuff would be called verbal sexual harassment. And, you know, all women like to hear compliments, but when a girl goes for a job interview expecting a nice professional approach, then the would-be boss starts the interview out by telling you how sexy and good-looking you are, and then he spends the rest of the interview with his hand on your leg. Well, now I think you've got a little bit of an idea what it's like to be a young woman in Latin America. I know it's pretty pathetic, but that's the way it is. And that's why so many Latin women learn early on in their search for a job that, if at all possible, they should either try for a job at a first world franchise like Subway or McDonald's or Burger King, as pathetic as that might sound too, or try for a job interview at a transnational company or any company owned and operated by, guess who? Gringos. Because, you know, gringos and first world franchises and transnational companies have their employee rules that are fairly rigid. And the word is out throughout Latin America that rarely do they mistreat women employees, which is yet another unintended consequence of what I call the gringo advantage. So let me once again state that for all you gringo women coming down as expats, you're going to be facing a lot of subtle and not so subtle sexual harassment. And because you are first world gringas, you can just bet that the attention you get from men down here will be on steroids. Now, of course, I know you're not coming down here looking for secretary jobs or jobs at banks or at McDonald's or Walmart. The fact is, about 80% of the expat women that come down with their expat husbands. And generally, they're either retired or they're entrepreneurial and have their own businesses or are starting their own businesses and are therefore self-employed and their own boss. So they won't have to deal with the often humiliating process of going through an interview with a lecherous prospective Latin boss. But note all you gringa expat gunnabies and wannabes, when you're out doing your chores and errands and shopping and out on the street by your lonesome doing whatever you've got to do, unless you're a retired gray-haired old gringa, you must expect a certain amount of what you might call, with your American sensibilities, sexual harassment. And believe me, many times it'll be on steroids. And by the way, if you think you're going to be safe by going in pairs, that is two women out shopping and doing your errands and stuff, forget about it. You'll still get the looks and the stares and the hoots and the whistles and the catcalls. Because remember, Latin American guys absolutely love first world gringas. To Latin guys, you first world ladies are their all-time fantasy. To them, you're the unobtainable forbidden fruit. So get used to being hit on and hard. And get ready to hear some very weak, lame, uncreative pickup lines, too. Of course, the more educated and cultured a Latin guy is, the less likely he is to be an out-and-out wolf. In other words, you won't hear the hisses and the catcalls from guys like that. However, only about 2% of Latin American adults have a bachelor's degree or better. That breaks down to only about 1 out of 50 Latin adults who you might call educated, which of course is debatable, but that's supposedly one way to measure it. Whereas anywhere from 30 to 40% of all first world adults have a bachelor's degree or better. That's about 1 in 3 North American and first world adults that are so-called educated. In other words, people with, quote, culture, unquote. Which we can also debate till the cows come home, but that's another story. And by the way, if you live in Latin America, you will see the cows come home. I do, almost every night. So anyway, as far as ladies being hassled, what that means to you first world gringas coming down as expats, when you're out alone, you're just going to be ogled and hissed at endlessly. Those are the irrefutable facts of life for gringas here. And don't think if you look like Oprah or Rosie O'Donnell, you'll get a pass. Yep, you'll still get hit on, but maybe that's a good thing, right? Anyway, ladies, unless you're in a high-end mall or upscale business district where the upscale first world hotels and conference centers are, just being a gringa on your own, you're going to draw a lot of attention to yourself, which is why so many long-term expat ladies have a nice, good-sized dog that accompanies them on their single journeys in and out of the big city, etc. In fact, some gringa expats I know take their dogs everywhere. Well, almost everywhere. And luckily, Latin American businesses and malls and restaurants, etc. are very dog-friendly, just like so many European countries. In fact, down here you'll often see a dog and his or her owner in a hotel lobby or a restaurant, even in a shopping mall. And you'll find many apartments will take dogs too, though they won't advertise it. In fact, even if you happen to be in an apartment lobby and you see there's a sign that says, no dogs or pets, you really shouldn't let that stop you from trying to cut a deal. Because you see, in Latin America, things aren't that strict. Especially now that there's this big real estate bubble down here in Latin America and it's a renter's market. That means if you were to offer cash money up front, let's say 3 to 6 months in advance, well, that changes everything. Which I have to admit is kind of a gringo thing. Because when I've done that down here, landlords often can't believe their eyes. They've never seen that kind of cash money up front before. Let's just say it's highly unusual. Latins just never offer up front cash like that because they're not savers, and even the most apparently wealthy ones with their big SUVs and bodyguards, they're living from week to week too, sometimes from day to day. Just ask anyone that works in the credit card department at one of the big banks down here. I've made a few inquiries myself. I know a person in the credit card department of a big bank, and he shocked me with some astounding figures. He said a good 40% of Latin Americans with credit cards are maxed out, which means 40% of cardholders are just paying that minimum payment every month. And get this, he says that another 30% of credit card holders are behind. In other words, they're paying penalties and interest every month on top of that minimum payment. Bottom line, 70% of Latin American credit card holders are just treading water and living from paycheck to paycheck. But it's worse than that. According to my friend at the big bank, he says that only the top 15% of Latin American earners can qualify for a real credit card. That is, a bona fide credit card, not a debit card. And here's something you'll like. Did you know that the average credit limit for Latin Americans who have credit cards is $500? Yep, that's it. Actually, for Latins, a low limit like that is a pretty good idea. I mean, face it, high limits have ruined a lot of first world people, you know? Everyone's got one of those in the family, right? Anyway, that means that 70% of the upper 15% of Latin American earners are living from paycheck to paycheck, or worse. Otherwise, of course, they wouldn't be paying just the minimum payment every month, right? Confused yet? Well, maybe this will help. Just note that 85% of all credit card holders in Latin America are holding debit cards because they can't qualify for a real credit card with a dollar or other funny money limit. And like I said, the upper 15% of Latins who do qualify for a real credit card, 70% of those are basically on the edge of default. That is, treading water and living from paycheck to paycheck. Sound familiar? Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, I was talking about the ease of renting an apartment if you're a gringo and a dog, cat, or other pet owner here in Latin America. Anyway, if you offer to pay 3 or even 6 months in advance, and even better, wave the cash in the landlord's face as you make the offer, I can tell you there's a very good chance the no dog rule will be waived. I've seen it happen. And on that subject, I even know of a case or two where a gringo made an offer to a landlord in a strictly no dogs allowed residential apartment building where the landlord actually made a counteroffer. He said the dog could stay for an extra $25 a month. Yep, that's how ironclad the rules are down here in Latin America. What's not to love about that, huh? But wait a minute. So then you might ask, what about the other residents in the building? They all came in and signed on knowing that there was a no dogs allowed policy, didn't they? So then, aren't they going to be truly pissed off about you having a dog when they can't? Well, the truth is, Latins are quite different than first world people in that respect. Surprisingly enough, they're very, very tolerant of dogs, even yapping, barking dogs that drive us gringos crazy, me included. Now, don't get me wrong, I like dogs, but not the small ones. The bigger ones are fine with me, but not the yiping, yapping little lap dogs. In fact, I actually know a lot of Latin apartment renters who've snuck their dogs in, and as long as they don't make a lot of noise, no one ever complains. So, many Latins get away with it too, only under the table. Meaning, most of them bypass mentioning the dog thing completely when they make the deal, only to sneak a dog or a cat in later. So then, what if you really do want to live in an apartment complex that's pet-free, only to find out a couple of weeks or months later that the guy or gal down the hall is breaking the rules? Well, I can tell you this. If you've only seen said stowaway pet in the hall a couple of times and it doesn't make much noise at all, you're going to have a hell of a time getting the landlord to evict it. And I understand the only way to get some real action on it, unless, of course, the dog's a barker or pooping on the hallway carpet, etc., is to go from door to door with a petition and get the other residents to sign it. In Spanish, of course. And that's where you're going to have the problem, because Latins, as a rule, are not big on signing petitions of any kind. Now, surprisingly enough, they'll give up every bit of information they know about themselves on Facebook, including compromised photos and such. Undereducated dupes that they are. Sound familiar? That said, aside from giving it all up on Facebook, they're very loath to sign petitions. They just don't like to get their name out there in writing and piss off anyone because, you know, Latin America has had various revolutions and dictators and coups d'etats and such, and, Well, let's just say Latins have a certain memory about that kind of stuff and naturally are very gun-shy about signing their name and ID numbers and such on any kind of list that might end up in a file somewhere, permanently. Oh, and speaking of personal files that just might get used against you later, did you know that up in the States, the FBI has 52 million people in their facial recognition system? So thank you for that, Facebook, huh? But where was I? Oh, yeah. What I'm saying is if you're not a pet lover and you want to evict a stowaway dog or cat in the apartment down the way, good luck trying to get the residents to sign a petition. You'll find sometimes you just have to take matters into your own hands. Enough said about that. Now, in regards to shipping your own dog or cat down, here's some good advice. You might already know that you have to have a certain amount of paperwork all filled out and you have to have vaccinations and stuff. And the paperwork's got to be in Spanish. Not to mention, at least some of that paperwork is time sensitive and has to be certified by the consulate of the Latin country you're going to end up in. So, if you're thinking about bringing your pet down, here's a simple and easy way to get through that process. Go to www.pettravel.com. And for about 10 bucks or so, you can download all the paperwork necessary for whatever Latin country that you want to ship your pet to. Just select the Latin country from the drop-down list and order the paperwork. Then, after you download the paperwork, search the internet for a veterinarian in the city or town that you're in, up in the States, that is, or the closest decent-sized city to you that has a Latin section. And then select a veterinarian in the Latin section that has a Spanish name, of course. Make an appointment, bring your pet in, and bring all the paperwork. And he or she will be able to do 90 to 100% of your work for you. Because Latin vets who deal with owners and pets of a Latin persuasion know all about the pet shipping details and paperwork regarding Latin America. They do it all the time for Latin people in the neighborhood. And, of course, they'll fill out all the proper paperwork in English and Spanish, which is the way you're going to need it. What could be easier than that, huh? Now, if you are a dog or cat lover and you're coming down to Latin America, and your pet is a geezer with some difficulties, like arthritis or bad eyesight or whatever, you might consider avoiding the stress of bringing that pet down, and instead, give it to your ex-mother-in-law in Cleveland or something. Because, you know, a pet that's a geezer and on its last legs is definitely a creature of habit. And that means, unfortunately, there's a pretty good chance that old Spot, Spike, or Obama is not going to adapt well to a totally new environment. You know, different climate, different humidity, different altitude, strange and new bugs, plants, and animals. But most psychologically unsettling of all is the fact that there's a huge shortage of fire hydrants. No joke. Now, that I bet you never knew. Come down to Latin America and see for yourself. Go to any big city, and you could drive around for hours and only see one or two fire hydrants at most. And some cities have none. So why is that, you might ask? It's because of the terribly undersized pipes and the horribly designed municipal water systems in Latin America. There's just not enough pressure or water flow to support fire hydrants as we know them. So they're basically useless for putting out fires. Now, if you remember me speaking about this on a past show, most municipal water supplies in Latin America only have water flow about 12 hours a day. That's the way things are here in Latin America, remember? And that's why everyone needs a cistern to collect their own water and then use their own pump as an assist to have proper pressure. And that's why when you're in Latin America and you see that the water's flowing all the time and you've got good pressure, it's really kind of an illusion because the place you're at is using a cistern and a pump. So even though water might only be dribbling in about 12 hours a day, that is, from the main pipe on the street coming from the city supply, well, the fact is when you're not using the water when the tap is off, the excess is always dumping into that cistern as a reservoir. And that's what you use, the water you've collected in your cistern, during that 12 hours or whatever when that city water is not forthcoming. Meanwhile, only about 10 to 20% of the Latin American population can afford to do that. So, 80% of the population is used to the fact that they don't have water 24 hours a day. Which is why you as a gringo expat must have a cistern and a pump, or live in a subdivision or high-rise residential tower with its own well. So then why would Latin American cities put in fire hydrants if the pressure's low and half the time there's no pressure at all? Well, it's a mystery to me and expats that know about it, but we're all thinking the usual, that someone's brother-in-law in Congress got the contract, water or not. So some cities have a few fire hydrants, but they don't work. Well, I take that back. They work for dogs. Anyway, if you are a dog lover, you can always get one down here. In fact, in all classified sections of the newspapers, there's an animal section, and you can get dogs of all breeds. Now, if you want a purebred dog and you don't mind getting it without the paperwork, you can get them very cheap, sometimes even free. In fact, looking at Managua, Nicaragua's biggest newspaper today, I see you can get a baby Rottweiler for around $30 to $40 US. And a Doberman puppy, around $60. And they've got terriers and schnauzers and bulldogs, etc., all for around $50 to $100. All without papers, of course. Now, if you want to get certified papers, I talked about that on a previous show, your best bet is to go to one of the frequent dog shows down here in Latin America, and every big city has them once in a while, so you can meet the owners of the purebreds and spend way too much money on papers that might not be real. And how much might you overpay for a dog with supposed papers? Well, let's look in the Managua classifieds now. There's a purebred Pomeranian for $400, and there's an English bulldog here too, $250. And they've got Labradors and Poodles and German Shepherds, all with papers, so they say. Anyway, no, they've got just about every purebred down here, too. But don't forget that Latin America is the land of the pirates. So if you, by Latin standards, pay relatively big money and buy yourself a registered purebred dog, I wouldn't take that paperwork to the bank, if you know what I mean. But why not get a mutt? Your choice. Oh, and here's something I always warn gringos about. Don't get a long-haired dog if you can avoid it. Even if you're in the Altiplano and think you can get away with it. Don't think because it's constant spring-like weather, your dog's going to be comfortable because, let's face it, he's not on the beach sweating it out all the time. Remember, even in the comfort of the Altiplano, there's no snow or frost. There's nothing to knock down the bug population for the year. So those year-round bugs are going to end up where? In your dog's hair. Then eventually in your house. Just know if you like dogs like that and just have to have one, you're going to have some heavy grooming bills and your dog's going to be high maintenance. Though I've seen some gringos give up on their long-haired dogs and let them revert into greasy dog rastas. Not a happy sight, believe me. And yes, since there are pine trees and pine forests here in Latin America, they do have ticks. So if you have a long-haired dog, be prepared to be a tick removal expert yourself, or Obama will spend a lot of his time and your money at the vet. But, oddly enough, expats with short-haired dogs will tell you they rarely pick up ticks. So then, with ticks, what about Lyme disease? Now, since there are a lot of doctors specializing in tropical disease down here, in speaking to one of these guys a couple months ago, he confirmed that Lyme disease exists through Latin America, but mostly, believe it or not, in Brazil. He said it's quite isolated and he's never seen a case yet, and he's practicing in Panama. So yes, it's here because, well, there are ticks here, but he says almost all of the cases that have occurred are out in the heavily forested areas of the boonies. So once again, it's a disease of the poor. And it mostly shows up with the people who don't have glass in their windows and have many direct openings from the outside into their houses. And yes, if you notice, down here in Latin America, poor folks usually have a dog or three or five, always mangy and scraggly looking. They never get to the vet because, well, poor folks don't have any money. And then what about the occasional bath? Well, I don't think so. Which probably means you could rule out those little doggy booties and sweaters, too. But I digress. Again, my strong advice is not to have a dog with long hair. Oh, and here's something that always makes me laugh. As you know, most dog owners up in the States, ones in the cities anyway, have been trained to pick up their dog's poop. You know, pooper scoopers and all that. Well, just know that you better bring your pooper scooper down because no one sells them down here. Why? Because no one uses them. They wouldn't know how. In fact, I'll never forget the apartment complex I lived in Colombia a few years back, where the only gringos in the building, I think there was 40 units, were me yours truly, and an older retired American embassy couple from Michigan. Now, they had a small dog and they'd take it out for a walk in the park across the street every day. She would have her plastic gloves on and follow her little dog around with the pooper scooper, as all diligent gringos and gringos would do, because up in the States, if you don't, you get fined, right? I remember every day about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, people walking on the perimeter of the park would just stop and stare and wonder what the hell she was doing. In fact, I'd see cars pull over and roll their windows down just to have a peek at the crazy old gringo lady picking up poo. But that's not all. One day I saw a college-aged kid sitting on the stoop of the apartment complex across the street, and when she came by with her dog and her scooper, the kid started taking pictures. And I'm sure they ended up somewhere on Latin Facebook. Anyway, of course, there were other dogs and dog owners in that park, and none of them were picking up their poo. But this lady, true to good old-fashioned American hygiene habits, decided to do her part for the park and Mother Nature. Even though everyone could see it was like bailing out the Titanic with a lunch bucket. Because I'll tell you, in Latin America, you really gotta watch where you walk because there are landmines everywhere, especially in the big city. Now, for all you entrepreneurial gringos up in Boston and Cleveland, don't be thinking that pooper scoopers could be a good business, that they could be the next big thing down here and that you should start manufacturing them. Believe me, it's not a Latin lag time first world thing that's just waiting to explode. Neither are knitted doggy booties and sweaters, I might add. And forget about doggy doors, too. You know those $50 little doors with a plastic flap where your dog can leave and enter the house at will? Sure, they're gringo and first world, but they'll never catch on down here. Why? Not because they're not a good idea and people wouldn't want them, it's just they're too damn expensive. The fact is, 90% of people who own dogs in Latin America never even take them to the vet. They can't afford it. Oh, and as it turns out, about 90% of the dogs in Latin America do not eat dog food either. Sure, they're not strays. They have owners with houses and yards. Most just go out and scrounge the neighborhood for food, and that's how they get by. And the fact is, some poor folks will buy a bit of dog food for the dog for special occasions like Christmas. Oops, we're near the end, so don't forget to go to expatwisdom.com and click on the Latin seminar link and find out about my January Expat Wisdom Seminar. When the shit hits the fan in the States, you'll need a plan B, and this could be the best one yet.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.